Хөрхөн охид trap сонсон. Trap сонсон, trap сонсон. Trap сонсон, trap донтсон. Түүний сонсон хөгжим дур булаан. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
What's up, people? Adam Hunter here. I'm giving you another podcast this week. It's going to be awesome. We have Noad Lahat on the show today. This dude was the first guy from Israel to ever get a UFC win. How cool is that? He's in the history books. He was a UFC fighter. He's now a Bellator fighter. Great fighter. Fought the best guys in the world. Beat a lot of the best guys. And I'm going to talk to him. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, marijuana is legal in California. Don't have to leave your house to get it. They will deliver it right to you. Just go to speedweed.com, follow them at Speedweed. They got the best marijuana, the best edibles, the best CBD. They'll give it right to you. They're great people. Mention Roasted, you get $10 off, $100 or more. All right, Speedweed, check them out. They are awesome. Also, you're getting all these podcasts because I have a new deal with Rockfin, RockFin/AdamHunter. It is a great place. I'm putting all my videos there. All my podcasts, that's why you're getting 5-6 podcasts a week. I put extra podcasts up there. You'll get 2 or 3 extra. Get them way before your other podcast, okay? Just, you're going to get inundated with podcasts and videos, putting all my comedy up there, and they're awesome. And you also get Ben Askren's exclusive content. Him and Front Row Brian have a podcast. Mike Cernovich has a podcast. Jordan Burroughs is throwing up technique videos that you can't get anywhere else. Jordan Burroughs, best wrestler in the world. Is going to be on Rock, is on Rockfin, RockFin. There's great comics, great fighters. You know, Israel Izzy Martinez has technique videos over there. They got great AJ Agazon has a great stuff. Check them out, rockfin.com/AdamHunter. Endorse me. It's only $10 a month, and if you and unlike other Patreons where you pay $10 for just that person's stuff, you get everyone's stuff. And you're really helping me out, and that's why I'm giving you so many podcasts. So, let's talk to Noad Lahat. Can't wait to talk to him. This dude is the truth. He's a real badass. So, let's check it out.
Hello?
Hello. Is this Noad?
Yes.
How are you? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. I enjoyed, I took the day. I watched a bunch of your fights, and watch all kinds of stuff, man. You are an animal. You're when you came to my comedy show, you looked so calm and collective and nice and peaceful. But in that octagon or in that cage, you're a beast of a man.
Yeah, two different people.
Two different people, man. So now you're the second Israeli fighter to ever be in the UFC. Who's the first?
The first one was before Zufa.
Was it Morty Heimek or something? Or
yeah, Morty Horstein. Yeah, you. I think he lost to Cale Coleman.
Cale lost to Mark Coleman. Yep. So you're the first guy from Israel to ever win a fight.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. grew up in Tel Aviv. You started doing judo when you were 5, and you became a black belt as well as a BJJ black belt.
Yeah, I'm a black belt in judo and jiu-jitsu.
Wow. Now, how's the BJJ and the judo over in Israel?
The MMA scene?
Yeah.
Oh, got so much bigger in the last few years. A bunch of newcomers, I think the beginning of the stage, I think in a few years, you'll see a bunch of guys coming out.
That's good, man. That's good, because I'm sure it was tough in the beginning to get really good competition and get good training over there.
Yeah. Training there is really good. What's missing is the experience of MMA. But other than that, good jiu-jitsu, good striking, good wrestling over there. So you can get everything. The only thing that means is the experience, but that will come.
Now, I was watching one of your fights, and Brian Stan was saying that when you were going to school, missiles were flying over your head. Is that, what was that like?
Well, it was 91 when Desert Storm. Saddam Hussein was punishing, trying to get back at the U.S. who was shooting missiles at Israel.
Wow.
I don't know, for me as a kid, it was I don't know, regular.
Wow, that must have been so scary. I mean, I've never had a missile fly over my head in my life. I've shot loads over girls' heads, but that's a whole different thing. But that must have been insane. And then you were in the Israeli army. You were a paratrooper?
Yes.
Wow. So how many planes did you jump out of?
How many different planes?
Yeah.
I had about 17, 15 jumps.
Wow. And what's that like?
That's fun.
Really?
Oh, that's crazy fun, yeah.
You weren't scared? I mean, jumping out of a plane and not knowing if the parachute's going to work or how to land? I mean, that must have been insane.
I know. I mean, I enjoy fighting, so we have maybe different standards of fun.
Yeah. So you were in the Israeli Defense Force. Now, I got to ask you, because I took Krav Maga for a couple months, and I thought it was good, but I thought they were kind of telling people the wrong thing. Like, they were, like, teaching soccer moms what to do when a gun's pointed at you. And I kept thinking, like, give them your money, because I think they were giving them way too much confidence. Does Krav Maga work?
Well, Krav Maga is not a – it's not like a – first of all, it's different with the, like, American schools and what you learn in the military. They tell you that you're going to get stabbed if someone pulls a knife on you. You just choose where it's going to be. Is it going to be your arm or is it going to be your neck? You know, it's
right.
Not. In the military, it's less bullshit.
Wow. So you learn how to, like, basically defend yourself against 8 terrorists coming at you at once.
Well, not defend yourself. You learn how to fight when you need to.
Wow.
So that's the difference. It's a different mindset.
Damn, man, you're a badass. So and then so you're 7-0. You make it to the UFC. They said you hadn't smiled in 3 years. They were saying. they said you were the most intense guy. Then you're up. Your first fight I watched against Jeffrey Pepe. You were winning that fight. It was pretty even, and then he threw a flying knee from hell. Was this the first time you'd ever been hurt in your entire life?
I don't remember, does it count?
Yeah, you're right, if you remember it, does it count, right, exactly, that's what Ben Askren said, yeah.
I mean, shit happened.
Now, I mean, was that shocking to you? Because you probably thought at that point you were unbeatable.
I was more than 7-0, I think. I had bunch of fights that won on Sure Dog, but no, I competed my whole life. I competed, so you pick up losses along
Hello?
The way, and you hear me?
That flying knee from hell, and was that super humbling for you, taking that first L, or were you able to kind of just bounce back?
So I was competing my whole life, but it's not my first loss. And I was being pretty humble. Being aggressive doesn't mean I was a cocky pig. But, I took a mandatory 2 months off, no contact. I came back right after. I trained, was so hungry, hungrier than ever. And I fought in San Jose a few months after, and I picked up the victory on Steven Seiler.
Yeah, that was a great fight. But that guy, you keep fighting these awkward guys. Like, Steven Seiler is such an awkward guy. He's so hard to look good against. I don't know anybody who looks good against him.
I look good against him.
Yeah, except for you. You look good against him. But everybody else who fought that guy, it's hard.
Yeah, some guys are like cockroaches, just fucking hard to kill.
Yeah. And then you beat Nicholas Backstrom, which was pretty awesome. Yeah. Also a tough guy from Sweden. And Diego Rivas, you were killing him. You almost finished that in the first round, and then that fucking flying knee again.
Yeah. I was very stiff for that fight. I just couldn't perform. I took him down, but I couldn't squeeze for the chokes, and I was just standing there. And he just ran at me, and then, yeah. I didn't even react. I was,
It happens. It happens. But it's okay. It's all right. Then you came back, and you won two fights. You came back, and first you beat Scott Cleave in Israel. What was that like fighting in Israel?
Oh, that was amazing. 10,000. It was then 10,000 the year after we sold out, 12,000. It was amazing. The crowd was amazing. It was fighting at home. You know, it was maybe one of the first fights I didn't get booed because it was my own crowd. it was fun.
You know, that was awesome. And then you beat Lloyd Carter also, who's a guy who didn't, you said after the fight, didn't want to fight you. Like, he was kind of, like, avoiding you, right?
Yeah, I had to chase him around. So, the fight before that, I kicked, what is his name, Cleave. I kicked him, and I broke my foot in that kick, like, the first a minute of the fight. Right when I put it back, I feel, like, needles on my, in my leg, and I right away, you know, tell myself, like, oh, shit, we have to finish this. Shoot double leg and I choked him. So then coming back to the other fight, I still had that. That was my right foot. I still had that foot a little achy. And he refused to fight, but he didn't want to grapple. So his way was just running backward the whole fight until, again, I grabbed a hold of him and choked him.
Yeah, that was awesome. Then they put me against Henry Corrales. Tough guy. Tough fight. Very close fight, you and Henry. The two guys in Bellator that you lost to, Henry Corrales and Barry and Caldwell. You think the Caldwell fight was fight? You think that was stopped too early, the Caldwell fight?
Way too early. I was totally fine. There was no reason to stop it. You know, I don't want to talk shit about the ref or anything. I don't know. He shot, like, low fucking single kind of tripped me, and I worked my way up. He punched me in the back of the head, and the ref jumped in and stopped it. I was totally down, and you know, I was trying to set something up, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, it happened. Hey man, look, you came back. Yeah. You beat Brian Moore, which is awesome. So now, I mean, look, you're obviously a great fighter. You got a record of 13-4. Do you have another fight on the books?
Right now I'm working contract. So, we'll see what's next.
Now, as far as the 145 tournament, are you a reserve guy for that?
No, actually I've been promised to be on that, but I didn't want to.
Really? How come?
I have other things in mind.
I mean, $1 million? I mean, what else you got for $1 million? Come on, man.
Yeah, I got something coming up. It's not that you fight a fight and you get $1 million. You have to fight, what is it, five fights?
Yeah.
Potentially get the million. It's $1 million. The PFL, for example, which I almost signed the beginning of the year. You advance and you make the money with Bellator. You go there, everybody's gonna fight basically for free in that tournament, and only the winner gets. So everybody's still gonna fight the same contract they have, and you get five fights or whatever, and then you're gonna fight the top guy to win the million. So only one guy out of everybody out of the 16 get paid.
Oh, I didn't know that. That sucks.
Yeah, it is.
Now,
yeah.
Now I think Henry's fighting Caldwell. Who do you think is going to win that fight? Since you fought both of them.
So when I fought Corrales, I won first one. He won second one. third one, I think I kicked him, slipped, something like that. He ended up winning that round. I took him down first one, and it was a little slippery, a little more than usual. And I kind of got mad, and I just stood with him. We both finished the fight with around 15, 20 stitches.
Wow.
Yeah, we just stood up and banged because I got mad and I didn't want to work my my wrestling. I think if it goes to the ground, Karat's gonna have a hard time to get up. But what is it? This is not a finisher. He doesn't have submission game. He mostly hold. And Corrales is unless someone choke him, he's fucking Mexican. Unless you choke him, I don't think you can pull him out. I hit him with some the heavy shit. Like I hit him with like baseball bat. Like I saw his head go all the way back, chin up, and he come back and
wow.
Yeah, he has a good chin. And you saw that with his last fight with Pico. I saw with Pico. Pico got heavy hands. I boxed with him at AKE. He's really good hands, and he tagged a few Corrales a few times, and Corrales got chin on him. So,
what do you think Pico's issue is?
What his issue?
Yeah, like how come he's not putting it all together?
Well, I think he's so good at two areas. It's like the area that combined. But he's young. I think Bellator basically ruined him. During first fight at the Garden in front of, you know, a co-main event. And he was 21, never fought in his life. It's this. I don't care what sport you come from. Unless it's like boxing or something like that. It's not the same. It's not the same when you walk out. It's not like wrestling or jiu-jitsu tournament. It's different. And
yeah.
he's very young. He's very eager to have, you know, those big highlights. And I was like that in his age too. But I was choking people. I think they put him up too fast.
Yeah, no, I agree. But also, I think that his fight IQ, it seems like he, you know, a lot of these guys, Team Alpha Male, that come from a wrestling background, the first seven or eight fights, they're just wrestling, wrestling, wrestling. He just wants to go out there and swing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a very dangerous tactic.
He's a very good boxer. Like, he's not only a wrestler. Like, I start boxing with him. He's a very good boxer. But MMA is not boxing. It's different. It's a little more dirty. It's a different range. I think he just didn't spend enough time to put it together. And usually that time needs to happen in the ring. And and I think he didn't put that time.
A fight that got signed today is Donald Cerrone against Justin Gaethje.
Ooh,
Who do you like in that fight?
Ooh, I like me in that fight. This is crazy. I just want to sit there and watch. It's good because Cerrone likes to fight people that nice to him and like friend kind. Gaethje is not like that. Gaethje is he's very tenacious. You know, coming forward, full aggressive. Don't care. You hit me, I'm gonna hit you. And fuck every fight that he's in is. He's entertaining, and Cerrone is very technical. I don't know. But I think
I love your pick because you start off, you can be both good points, but you don't make a pick. You go,
yeah, Gaethje. No, I got Gaethje on that one. I think he's too aggressive for Cerrone's style. Cerrone needs someone to stand with him. To pick them apart. He's conventional striker. He likes to stand in that distance and get you running forward. Totally offset. The way to fight a technical striker is to brawl. And that's what Gaethje does. He fucking brawl. And I think he get the edge on that one. That's where my money.
Now I got to talk to you about something else. Now, like, you're obviously, I think you're my dad's favorite fighter. My dad, you know, I'm Jewish.
Good taste.
I'm Jewish, but my dad is convinced that everyone's anti-Semitic and everyone hates the Jews, and that, you know, he's very pro-Israel, and he says that all these people, that there's a huge rise of anti-Semitism coming up, and he's very kind of, and you're also, I mean, you actually fought in the Israeli army, but I saw you today tweet about Representative Omar and how there's this huge anti-Semitism movement going on. Talk to me. Tell me what it's really like out there.
Well, tell you what, there's like a big bias in the world. Actually, if you think about it, Israel is maybe 8 million people country surrounded by Syria, Gaza, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, and somehow Israel is the problem. Well, if you look at that, that's probably the country where the least Arabs or Muslims died in the whole Middle East in the last decade or so. So the fact that bitch is even talking about it is just show, because she has no business. Deal with your representative. You know, you got nothing to do with the other side of the world. Nobody over there voted for you. So deal with your people. But it's a tactic a lot of times to just so people won't ask her the real questions. It's easy to just, so instead of saying it's the Jews, it's Israel. Israel do that. And she said that American Jews can't be trusted because they have other, while at the same time, she's the Muslim Brotherhood supporter. So in America, so far, people didn't really heard those voices, but they're coming here too. You see it in Europe, in the Middle East, around, but now when they're coming to the States and you hear it in the House, and it's a problem. And it's a problem that she can say stuff that obviously anti-Semite, and it's okay. But if I'll talk about any other minority, black, gay, Muslim, whatever, I'm racist or whatever.
Right. So
think about it. The fact that this little country even make it to the media here, 15 hours flight away, while this country involved in two wars, but they talk about what's going on in that little country, it's a big and great bias.
I mean, but why is it that all these countries want to blow Israel off the map? Is it because they think they've occupied the land? I mean, it was after World War II, they were given this little strip of land because the Germans were trying to, you know, get rid of, Hitler's had to get rid of all the Jews. They gave them this little piece of land. Israel built this beautiful democracy. And is it jealousy or is it people that, like, explain it to me.
Well, the whole history, so, okay. 1945, British conquered from the Turkish, from the Ottoman Empire. No, sorry, I'm way wrong. 1914, First World War,
right.
Conquered from the Ottoman Empire. It was basically the ally was France, Britain fought the German and the Turkish, with the promise that their job was to make that land state for the Jews, because already then the Jews had a problem. And that land was empty. It was a little bit of Jews, a little bit of Arabs. 1947, after the war, a mass of Jews escaped from not only Europe. My family escaped from Yemen because their neighbors decided that whatever's going on in Israel, it's their fault, so they start slaughtering them. My mom's family escaped from Afghanistan because their neighbors decided that they have no place there anymore. So Jews, and at the same time, there was a great migrant in the whole world after World War II. So a lot of Jews escaping Europe, escaping the Middle East, the only place that accept them was Israel.
Right.
They come in there, and all the fake Arab nationalities, you know, like Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, those aren't really real. They're all fake. They're all made up by the British and the French. They decided to create another one to fight the Jews, the Arabs did. And it was Palestinian because they never existed before 1967, before six different states, Arab states, which is Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Iraq, decided to fight Israel. Israel beat them all in 6 days, conquered their land. And that day, the Palestinian problem was born. Before that, they had no problem. And every time you hear about something in Israel, it's purely anti-Semitic because there's no reason for that little country to be in the news in a country full of problems like the U.S.
Yeah, no. I was told that the other country, when I was growing up, they told us the other countries in Syria and Lebanon, that their government starves their people, that they take all the money. And then, and because Israel doesn't, they have a democracy where people are prosperous, that they blame the Jews for their own problems as opposed to...
It's Israel basically ruined the Muslim conquer of the whole Middle East for them because they call it haram. It's a conquered land, so that means because at some point the Muslim conquered that land. So it's considered a Muslim land no matter what. So but it's changed in the Middle East today because the Middle East is the people are smarter. There's the internet today. They can't buy the bullshit of the government, feed them, or organizations, you know, that are trying to keep them stupid. And Israel got a lot of deals work with the Muslim world today. The only countries that really like anti-Israel is Syria, Lebanon, and Gaza. And Iran, you know, the other countries have full-on business relations and intelligence relationship with Israel because all of them want to fight the crazy ones too, like Iran, you know, that. Basically running all the terror organizations in the world. And the way I see it, things only get better.
So when you hear like a lot of, you know, far left people say, you know, occupy Palestine or free Palestine.
Yeah, they can go fuck themselves.
I mean, because you're a guy that's actually, you know, jumping out of planes to like, you know, to basically fight these wars that are ridiculous. I mean, does that really bother you when like you hear a lot of people in America say that?
Well, I just know it's they're just misguided and stupid. That's about it. Because today, with the talk today, you're looking for victims. If someone is poor and that means someone stole his money or land, and it's not because they're just stupid and choose to keep fighting an endless war instead of develop their land. If you see what Israel did in the Middle East, look around Israel and look at Israel in 70 years, Israel is like an island. You know, if you look at the countries surrounding Israel, the old third world countries, while Israel is Silicon Valley. It's a little crazy.
No, I've been to Saudi Arabia. I never wanted to get out of a country so fast in my life. I was there doing for the military, and then there were the religious police walking around, and then they had a place called Chop Chop Square where they chop off your arms if you're caught stealing.
Oh,
like this is their entertainment. I've been to Jordan, I've been to Abu Dhabi and Dubai. Those places were fun. But Saudi Arabia, I couldn't wait to get out of there. I mean, women couldn't drive. People had to be covered head to toe. I mean, I couldn't imagine growing up there.
But Omar, I think she got no problem with that. They're okay.
Yeah, she has no problem with like, you know,
even though that country, is, I think, more than 100 times the size of Israel.
Yeah. No, it's insane. And but so I like, I think about like you and your life and like what you've seen, and now you came over here, you got married, you have what, 2 kids?
Yeah, 2.
You're raising a family, you're fighting, but also I think of AKA when you were over there. I mean, you must have been it just shows you that like how mixed martial arts can bring everyone together, because you're training with Khabib, right? Wasn't that one of your training partners?
Yeah. Uh-huh,
Khabib's a Muslim. All those guys from back then are Muslims. I'm sure you guys got along. I'm sure you guys were probably brothers over there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you know, it doesn't really matter. Like it's not that the Catholic people killed less Jews than Muslims. I don't care what you believe in, who you pray, if it's your dog or whatever. As long, you know, you say hi to me, I say hi to you, you're a good person, cool. It's like, it doesn't bother me at all.
By the way, what was that like training with a guy like Khabib, who's considered the best in the world right now?
What was it to train with him?
Yeah.
Oh, we punched each other really hard in the face. Yeah, he's something special.
I mean, people say that when he grabs you, it's like it's a different kind of
strength. Yeah, he's talent above everything. It's his strength. He's very, very strong.
Yeah, well, what is it about Dagestan and that little place? Just breathe.
No, he's like even among the other Dagestanis, because every time he came to train, always they brought 8 other fighters, the brothers. He is something special. He's stronger than, like, physically strong. He's not technically better than them, but physically, his strength is something that even the Dagestani, he's special.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. That's what you see. If you go look at his fights, you know, like Barbosa or something, and you see when he grabbed them, you see when they realize that they can't fight it, and you see on their face, like, oh, fuck.
That's what Ally Akinta said, who was a college wrestler, college standout. He said he never felt a guy that kind of strength before.
Yeah.
But that's got to give you confidence. I mean, the fact that he's your training partner.
Yeah, I know. You know, every time I go and fight, I know those guys are nothing like the guys I train with. So.
Yeah, that's got to give you crazy confidence. Thank you for the lesson on Israel, because I always hear bits and pieces, but you hear so many different perspectives, and you got all these people saying "Free Palestine" on Twitter, and I want and people that I know and like, and a guy like Ramzi Knight.
Hey man, you know, like even when they talk about the West Bank, I grew up the West Bank. My whole life, they have their own cities. The army only go inside the cities when they need to pick people out, because they go out and do silly shit. We're trying to give them as much freedom, but every time it's literally blew up in our face. So, yeah, free Palestine. They need to free themselves from those terrorists that keep hurting us. Because, for example, like they're talking about the fence that we built. Before those fence, we were stormed with suicide bombers. The missiles aren't scary. The missiles come, you know, we talked about at the beginning, the missiles, there's an alarm and everything. The suicide bombers, when I was in high school, nobody would go out to on public transportation, because the suicide bombers would go on the school buses, on the public buses, and explode. They would drive their car close to a school bus and explode. They would go inside the kindergarten, the nursery homes, the hospitals. When we built that fence, that shit stopped. And
got
basically,
it.
Every time, like, they used to be able to walk free into Israel. When Oslo started, the terrorist organizations just raised their head, and people all of a sudden were like, oh, wait, we can take more. We don't need only that. We want everything. And people don't understand the fear of a woman, you know, like sending her kids to school, and she's afraid a suicide bomber will kill them. Afraid that you go, we had stories, you know, of family going to a restaurant, and there was a family story, a famous story of a family going into a pizza place, 8 people, and four died in a suicide bomber. Two parents, two kids, you know, stuff like that all the time.
Wow.
And when they talk about, oh, they have the right, they have no fucking right if I have no right to breathe. So I rather they cry on their loss of their right to movement over my right to breathe. That's the bottom line.
Are
they ready to join the rest of the world and drop the violence, Israel will be more than happy to turn them into Singapore. But they don't want to. Look how many years Gaza run by Hamas. Not one hospital, not one school. They build nothing but terror tunnels and missiles. You know, if they stay like that, fuck you, stay in Gaza. We got, you know, they don't create anything. They leave everything off Israel. They get electricity, water, food, because they don't create anything. A million people that create nothing but death. And that's the problem.
Now, is it true also that they would strap bombs onto little kids and then throw them into Israeli waves?
Go on YouTube. You'll see that on YouTube. You see cases that little kids get stuck. When I was, I tell you, so about my time in the service, we had an order to stop a highway from Nablus to all the way to Jerusalem, because we had the intel that a suicide bomber is on his way to Jerusalem. They told us to stop everybody, and it was hundreds of cars. When we pulled out this ambulance, and there was a pregnant woman laying, and the officer said, "Pick her up, and she needs to stand up." And she crying, "No, I'm sick. Pick her up. She's laying on a vest on a bum. Go to the hospital." Yeah, it's that kind of stuff. So what do you do? Exactly.
I mean, I've never had to deal with that before. I don't know what I would do. I feel worse for the unborn kid. The kid didn't do anything.
But fuck the unborn kid. I think about my kids.
That's very true. That's
like,
very
I'm talking
true.
About me. I'm not like all Israel, and I'm sure other Israelis think different. Here's how I think. If it's me, my kid, or anyone else's kid, fuck their kids.
Yeah, you got to save your own kid. Of course. I have a daughter too, and I would do anything in the world to protect her. So I couldn't imagine what you must have gone through. And, you know, I mean, the fact that, like, you're training with Khabib is probably the least violent thing you do all day. So that's probably the easy part, is training with eight Dagestanis.
They're good people.
I know, of course. How hard was it for you to watch Luke Rockhold? Because that's an AKA guy.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's you know, like DC said, this sport sucks. Man, it's hard to see, you know, one of your friends, because we basically grew up together. We've been at the same gym for 8 years. It's not fun seeing your friends, you know, lose, but I think I saw all my friends, Baba, Khabib, everybody, you know, you at some point you eat that knee, you eat that punch, you lose a knee, you know, something happened, and it's part of the fun. I think that's why these sports give you so much high, because when you go into the cage, it's really at the high level, it's flip a coin. Like, everybody can, when you match up so close, it's a one elbow that lifted the in and catch you, or a kick or something. And it's not easy, you know, dodging the bullets all the time.
No, I was watching the Ben Askren, you know, he's a good friend. That was like, I couldn't sleep all night. It was brutal. Seeing your friend lose in 5 seconds and then have Masvidal lie down next to him. And I was like, that was rough, but that's the sport. But then again, you know, now it's the comeback. It's how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to come back from that? You know, that's what real champions. It's not about getting knocked down. It's how you can get up. So,
I think that's the, it's that's what Nick fighters, when you see them, not necessarily losing, but you see them coming back and getting, you know, back on the horse or getting better. And
of course, I mean, as a comic, it's bombing. I can't tell you how many times I've bombed, probably in the thousands.
Yeah, now imagine every time you bomb, there was a concussion behind it.
and everyone in the world, every time I bomb, and people are a few of me bombing, like,
and everybody you know in the world watch you.
Oh, I mean, I give Askren so much credit because every time he posts something, everyone sends a gif of him getting knocked out. I'm just like,
I still get that shit.
Really?
Oh, fuck. 3 years later, I always get that.
Wow.
3.5 years. Almost 4 years, 3.5 years. But, you know, fuck you. Give a fuck. I've been there. What have you done?
Exactly.
I don't even respond to people. I say, like, loser.
You, of course.
You take your time. You take time out of your day to search me and see what I did wrong in my life. Not wrong. Like, where I fell in my life and you shove it in my face. Like, really, you think I give a fuck?
Yeah.
It's like people do it to Ben Askren. Again, someone who competed his whole life. Do you really think he cares about your opinion?
No, he doesn't.
Exactly.
He doesn't even. A guy like that, also, I wonder why he's still fighting. Like, not that I wonder why, but like, he probably made so much money in ONE FC, so much money in Bellator, stuff from wrestling. He's a good business guy. You wonder, like, what's going to keep driving him, you know?
Oh, I don't wonder. You wonder. I know exactly why.
Tell me.
It's that fire. I think that the whole time he didn't really fight the big guys, the big names. And I think it's always in the back of his head, like, hey, am I really the champ? Do I really do that? And as a competitive guy, as a fighter, you always want to test yourself. You want to say that, fuck yeah, I fought the best guys in the world. Because everybody always holds it against him. Oh, you haven't fought this and this. And now he's fighting them.
Yeah.
So
I know.
A guy like that,
no
matter what, people are going to talk shit. You feel weird. Oh, you hold him the whole time. If he's like, oh, you didn't really choke him. People always talk shit. If you care about people say, you fuck you, you're going to die. I don't give a fuck. And I'm sure he doesn't.
Now, my final question. I saw that you did the bottle cap challenge, right? And you took out a gun, and then you shot the bottle off the thing. Now, was that a real gun?
Stupid. Of course, it's 357 Magnum.
Are you allowed to carry that?
It's Nevada.
Wow. How many guns do you own?
More than my hands.
Wow. You more than 10 guns?
I think that's around that number.
Wow. I mean, are you worried that someone's going to invade your house or that there's a country going to invade you or something? Or?
No, I think a bunch of those I got from sponsors and stuff. But I have, me personally, I only purchase 2. The same one I have in the military. I don't even like shooting. I go maybe once every few months, put a magazine and put it back just to keep. But I'm still. You need to train. You know, it's a perishable skill, and I'm still in the military. I'm on reserve, and so I still go and train, but I don't really like shooting. But
yeah,
if someone invades my house, you're going to have a bad day.
I don't think anyone's going to invade your house anytime soon. Absolutely not. You'd have to be insane to do that. But, yeah, you know, stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Nawad, you're a pleasure to talk to you. I'm a big fan. Thanks for coming to the comedy show, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. I had so much fun, me and my wife.
Oh, well, thank her. And, have a great week and keep up the great work. Where can people follow you on Instagram and Twitter?
Yeah, if they want to see that my version of the bottle cap challenge, so Noad_Lahat, Noad Lahat, most of my social media.
Well, thank you so much, man, and have a great week.
Thank you very much. You too.
Take care.
All right, that was Nawad. I learned a lot. Learned a lot about Israel and history and fighting and everything else. So thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. If you're a fan of mine, go to adamhunter.com if you want to see me live. Adamhunter.com. I got all kinds of tour dates coming up. I'm going to be in Little Rock, Arkansas in late August. I'm going to be in Mississippi with Russell Peters, as well as Maryland with Russell Peters, August, I think, 15th and 16th. I got all kinds of cool dates coming up. September, I'm going to be in Arizona, as well as, where else am I going to be in September? Edmonton, Canada. And I'm going to be in Vegas in October. And then November, I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon. Late August, I'm in Sacramento at Tommy T's. So check me out, adamhunter.com. Thank you guys so much. Take care. Have a great week. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр булаа. Даа дэ стоотан дөр булаа мөрөө.